Welcome to everyone on this live teleconference Wednesday prayerful gathering at prayerfulgathering.com, a sister site of prayerfulliving.com. All are welcome. Please invite others to this weekly spiritual oasis, especially those who wonder if prayer really can meet their human need. It is a delight to have you at this prayerful gathering. For access to the archive healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive, and that's on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's sing hymn number 30. The words for this hymn were written in a poem entitled Love by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer of Christian Science.
Blend like brother birds that soar and sing, and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love.
Again, welcome to this Wednesday's prayerful gathering at prayerfulgathering.com. The title of today's healing message is The Sermon. As you might guess, it relates to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, for a little background, is really thought to be a collection of teachings that Jesus gave over different times, but it has been compiled into a single Sermon on the Mount. Also, I'd like to read a brief message to the Mother Church from 1901, written by Mrs. Eddy. True, I have made the Bible and Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures the pastor for all the churches of the Christian Science denomination, but that does not make it impossible for this pastor of ours to preach. To my sense, the Sermon on the Mount, read each Sunday, without comment, and obeyed throughout the week, would be enough for Christian practice. The Word of God is a powerful preacher, and it is not too spiritual to be practical, nor too transcendental to be heard and understood. Whosoever saith there is no sermon without personal preaching forgets what Christian Scientists do not, namely, that God is a person and that he should be willing to hear a sermon from his personal God. Today's healing message citations will be from Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And since it is thought to be a collection, I will be reading from several translations, from the New Living Translation, from the Complete Jewish Bible, from the Voice, from the Contemporary English Version, from the King James Version, and from the James Moffat New Testament, the J.B. Phillips, and the Message Versions. The correlative passages will be from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Sermon, Chapter 5, The Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, Yeshua walked up the hill. After he sat down, his Talmidim came to him, and he began to speak. This is what he taught them. Salt and light. You, beloved, are the salt of the earth. But if salt becomes bland and loses its saltiness, can anything make it salty again? No, it is useless. It is tossed out, thrown away, or trampled. And you, beloved, are the light of the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Similarly, it would be silly to light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. When someone lights a lamp, she puts it on the table, or a desk, or a chair, and the light illumines the entire house. You are like that illuminating light. Let your light shine everywhere you go, that you may illumine creation, so men and women everywhere may see your good actions, may see creation at its fullest, may see your devotion to me, and may turn and praise your Father in heaven because of it. Teaching about the law. Don't think I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah, not until everything that must happen has happened. So whoever disobeys the least mitzvah and teaches others to do so will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever obeys them and so teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness is far greater than that of the Torah teachers and the Purshim, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Teaching about anger. You know that our ancestors were told, do not murder, and a murderer must be brought to trial. But I promise you that if you are angry with someone, you will have to stand trial. If you call someone a fool, you will be taken to court, and if you say that someone is worthless, you will be in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are about to place your gift on the altar, and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift to God. Before you are dragged into court, make friends with the person who has accused you of doing wrong. If you don't, you will be handed over to the judge and then to the officer who will put you in jail. I promise you that you will not get out until you have paid the last cent you owe. Teaching about adultery. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Teaching about divorce. It used to be said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a divorce certificate. But I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife for any reason except on chastity makes her an adulteress, and whoever marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Teaching about vows. Again, you have heard that the people in the old days were told, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, don't use an oath at all. Don't swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. No, and don't swear by your own head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Whatever you have to say, let your yes be a plain yes, and your no a plain no. Anything more than this has a taint of evil. Teaching and revenge. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. Love for enemies. You have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Then you will be acting like your Father in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both good and bad people. He sends rain for the ones who do right and for the ones who do wrong. If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for that? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Don't unbelievers do that? But you must always act like your Father in heaven. Teaching about charity. Be careful not to parade your acts of tzedakah in front of people in order to be seen by them. If you do, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you do tzedakah, don't announce it with trumpets to win people's praise like the hypocrites in the synagogue and on the streets. Yes, I tell you, they have their reward already. But when you do tzedakah, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Then your tzedakah will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. Teaching about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Teaching about fasting. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Riches in heaven. Don't pile up treasures on earth where moth and rust can spoil them and thieves can break in and steal. But keep your treasure in heaven, where there is neither moth nor rust to spoil it, and nobody can break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, you may be certain that your heart will be there too. The light of the body. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. God and possessions. Jesus, no man can serve two masters. If you try, you will wind up loving the first master and hating the second, or vice versa. People try to serve both God and money, but you can't. You must choose one or the other. Here is the bottom line. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Don't worry about how you clothe your body. Living is more than merely eating, and the body is about more than dressing up. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not store food for winter. They don't plant gardens. They do not sow or reap. And yet, they are always fed because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are even more precious to him than a beautiful bird. If he looks after them, of course, he will look after you. Worrying does not do any good. Who here can claim to add even an hour to his life by worrying? Nor should you worry about clothes. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They do not work or weave or sew, and yet their garments are stunning. Even King Solomon, dressed in his most regal garb, was not as lovely as these lilies. And think about grassy fields. The grasses are here now, but they will be dead by winter. And yet God adorns them so radiantly. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith, you who have no trust? Do not consume yourself with questions. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Outsiders make themselves frantic over such questions. They don't realize that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you too. So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. Judging others. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. The one who asks will always receive. The one who is searching will always find. And the door is open to the man who knocks. If any of you were asked by his son for bread, Would you be likely to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If you then, for all your evil, quite naturally give good things to your children, how much more likely is it that your heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask him? Treat others exactly as you would like to be treated by them. This is the essence of all true religion. The Narrow Gate. There are two paths before you. You may take only one path. One doorway is narrow, and one door is wide. Go through the narrow door, for the wide door leads to a wide path, and the wide path is broad. The wide, broad path is easy, and the wide, broad, easy path has many, many people on it. But the wide, broad, easy, crowded path leads to death. Now then, that narrow door leads to a narrow road that in turn leads to life. It is hard to find that road. Not many people manage it. A tree and its fruit. Beware of false prophets. They come to you with the garb of sheep, but at heart they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? No. Every good tree bears sound fruit, but a rotted tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a rotten tree cannot bear sound fruit. So you will know them by their fruit. Any tree that does not produce sound fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I never knew you. Not everyone who calls me their Lord will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only the ones who obey my Father in heaven will get in. On the day of judgment, many will call me their Lord. They will say, "We preached in your name, and in your name we forced out demons and worked many miracles." But I will tell them, "I have nothing to do with you. Get out of my sight, you evil people." The two house builders. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. Homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who builds his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies, and don't work them into your life, you are like the stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. True happiness. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, and lie about you, and say all sorts of evil things against you, because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. The authority of Jesus. When Yeshua had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at the way he taught, for he was not instructing them like their Torah teachers, but as one who had authority himself. And now from Science and Health. There is but one way to heaven, harmony. In Christ and divine science shows us this way. The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of this science. Whoever opens the way in Christian science is a pilgrim and stranger, marking out the path for generations yet unborn. The Thunder of Sinai and the Sermon on the Mount are pursuing and will overtake the ages, rebuking in their course all error and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven on earth. Truth is revealed. It needs only to be practiced.